Well, as I mentioned the last few weeks, after some prayer and guidance from the Lord, I decided to take a little break from our series through the Bible that we were in the middle of to begin this little mini-series that I hope encourages us, that I hope and that I hope helps us grow in our relationship with the Lord in these times that we find ourselves in. And the title of this mini-series is simply this: Warning. Do try this at home. And it's simply a play on the disclaimer that you see on TV shows and things where they do dangerous stunts or activities, and they put up that disclaimer that says, warning, don't try this at home. But in this series, we're talking about things that we should be doing at home. Things that we do all the time here at church when we gather together, and that we really should be doing every day of our lives. Now, we began a few weeks ago by talking about the fact that we should be reading our Bibles at home. Because God's Word, it's vital in guiding and directing us through this crazy journey called life. And then last week we talked about the fact that we should be praying at home. And I shared that prayer shouldn't be one-sided. It's our lifeline to God. And if all we're doing is telling Him our wants and our needs, then we're missing out on His words to us, which guide us and direct us, as well as bring peace and comfort to our lives. Now today, we're going to look at the next thing that we should be doing at home, which is worship. Now, the interesting thing that I realized as I was diving into this topic of worship is that I could have titled this entire series Worship. Because the truth is, every single one of the topics that we've talked about already and that we're going to continue to talk about are acts of worship. And this is why we were created. We were created for worship. This is why the title of this message or this series is Do Try This at Home, because we're called to be people of worship, not just on Sundays, but every day of our life. Now, I actually believe that we were created, we're wired, our bodies are wired to worship. The problem is, all too often, we're worshiping the wrong things. We often worship things like money. We worship status. We sometimes worship other people. We worship power. We worship our stuff. You name it. And so often we end up worshiping it. But we were created not to worship these things. We were created to worship God. In Revelations 22:8-9, it says this: I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God. The angel here in that scripture tells John, don't worship me. Worship God. You see, we were called to worship the Lord. So what does this mean when I say we should be doing this at home? Does this mean we all need to learn how to play the guitar or the keyboard or some musical instrument so that we can worship Him in our living rooms? I don't think so. Now, I have to tell you, I have enjoyed sitting in my living room with my family on Sunday mornings and worshiping in this way. But this isn't what I'm talking about when I talk about worshiping at home. Because worship is far more than just singing. And I think most of us know that. And so I guess the question we have to ask is, what is worship? Well, if we go back to the Old Testament, the most common word for worship in the Hebrew language was the word proskuneo. It's found 164 times throughout the Old Testament in reference to worship. And it means to bow down in a sense of reverence and respect and honor. Now the interesting thing is how that word for worship isn't as common in the New Testament. It appears just 26 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as people would often come and bow down in reverence to Jesus. And it's found 21 times in the book of Revelation as angels and elders would often bow down before God, or as we read earlier, John bowed down to the angel. But throughout the rest of the New Testament, it's only found 8 times. Paul, who wrote a good portion of the New Testament, he only uses it once in 1 Corinthians. And Peter, James, and John, they don't use that word at all. And so I found it very interesting that the main word used for worship all throughout the Old Testament is virtually non-existent in the New Testament, which forces us to ask the question, why? Why is the most common word used for worship in the Old Testament rarely used in the New Testament? If we're called to be people of worship, why would the most common word used for worship almost be absent in the New Testament? Well, I think for us to find the answer to this question, we need to take a look at our text this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me in John chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. And if you don't have your Bibles, don't worry, we'll put it up on the screen below there. But before we read the text, let me just give you a brief background of what's going on here. Many of you are probably familiar with this text. It's the story of the woman at the well. If you're not familiar, Jesus had come to this well and there's a Samaritan woman there. And he ends up taking some time to talk with this woman. And in the midst of their conversation, he basically tells this woman her history and all of her failures. And this totally blows her mind, right? She can't figure out how he could know all these things. And so she says, you must be a prophet. And so she begins to start asking him some spiritual questions, some questions about worship. And this is where we're going to pick up here in the scripture this morning. Beginning in John chapter 4, verse 20, it says this: "Our ancestors worshipped on the mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." Now, it's at this time that we see a shift begin to happen. Before this time, worship was what I would call localized and physical. And what I mean by that is this. Localized worship is they would go to the temple. They would go to a local place to worship. And the physical aspect was that they would come to the temple and they would bow down before the Lord. It was a physical act of worshiping the Lord, bowing down in reverence to God. This is the proskuneo worship that we see all throughout the Old Testament. But Jesus is now telling this woman that all this is about to change. He says to her in verse 21, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." And he then goes on to say in verse 23, "True worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." What Jesus is saying to this Samaritan woman is that worship will no longer be localized or institutionalized. It will now become something that is widespread. It will happen everywhere. We don't need to go to the temple to worship God. We'll be able to do it wherever we're at, even in our homes. How though? That's the question for this woman. What is it that is about to change? And Matthew 12:6, I think, gives us some insight into what Jesus was referring to. It says this in Matthew 12:6. Excuse me. I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. And that something was Jesus. It was Himself. And because of His death and resurrection, He is now our connection to the Father. And since He lives in us through the Holy Spirit, we no longer have to go to the temple to be able to connect with Him. And it's no longer just a physical act of bowing down that we worship the Lord. It's a spiritual act, as He said, in spirit and in truth. It's a spiritual act of honoring and glorifying the Lord in all that we do. Jesus changed everything. And that is why we see the proskuneo worship pretty much disappear in the New Testament. Instead of people going to the temple to worship, to bow down in reverence, they were worshiping God wherever they were. Paul actually gives us some insight into this new worship in Romans. Listen to what he says in Romans 12:1. Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." You see, in the Old Testament, they went to the temples and they offered dead sacrifices to the Lord. But now Paul says we are living sacrifices. We now worship God with our lives. Which is why it's so important that we do this at home. That we do this wherever we go. That it's not just something that we do on Sundays at church or online. Now when people talk about worship, so often they're referring to the singing done at church, which is just one form of worship. But if that is all that worship is for us, then the truth is we're right back where we were in the Old Testament. And worship is so much more than that. Let me give you my biblical definition of worship. This is what I believe worship is. It's giving honor and glory to the Lord. Giving honor and glory to the Lord. So anything we do that honors and glorifies God, that's worship to Him. Now, if that's true, then we need to look closely at 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says this, So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all of it, for the glory of God. You see, this scripture tells us that we should do all things to the glory of the Lord. So the reality is we should worship God in all that we do. We should never stop worshiping Him. It goes back to what Paul said in Romans 12:1. We are to offer our bodies, our lives as a living sacrifice to God. Which means when we love and honor our spouses, that's worship to God. When we do our best at work and honor our co-workers and our bosses, that's worship to the Lord. When we help people in need, that's worship to the Lord. When we choose to be slow to anger, that's worship to the Lord. When we choose to turn our eyes when inappropriate things pop up on the screen of our TVs or our computers, that's worship to the Lord. When we choose to sing praises to the Lord, when we'd rather be asleep in our beds, that's worship to the Lord. When we give generously and obediently to God, that's worship. When we devote ourselves to prayer and reading the Bible, that's worship. And I could go on and on and on, but I think we get the picture. I think we understand that whatever it is and wherever it is, if it brings glory to the Lord, that's worship. But here's the thing. God created us to glorify Him. And according to 1 Corinthians 10:31, we should glorify Him in all that we do. But I believe it actually goes a step farther than that. If you've been a part of Dallas Foursquare Church, then you've heard me talk about this reality numerous times. I actually did an entire message on this truth a few years back, and it pops up in my messages and when we talk about worship all the time. And it goes back to a book I read years ago titled Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. And in that book, it talked about why we were created. And in that book, he said that we basically have two purposes in life. Number one is to glorify God in all that we do, right? Which that's what we've been talking about this morning. We've been talking about glorifying Him. We've been talking about that worship. But then he gives a second purpose, which is this, to then delight in doing it. And when you think about it, the truth is oftentimes we don't necessarily delight in it. You see, we read the scriptures, we understand God's desire for us to glorify Him. So many of us are willing to sacrifice and to push through these things that God is asking us to do. But are we delighting in it? The truth is we're really good at putting on that serving face, right? Yeah, I serve. Oh man, I sacrifice. I do so much for God. But are we delighting in it? God wants us to enjoy our worship to Him. He wants us to delight in glorifying Him. I remember when I first read the book, Don't Waste Your Life, and I was thinking about this aspect of delighting in it. And the Lord gave me a picture. And it was a picture of me and my wife years ago, back when we first started dating, back in the early years of marriage. And in that time, I can tell you that there isn't anything I wouldn't have done for my wife, Stacy. I would bend over backwards to please her, and it didn't matter how hard it was. Didn't matter what I had to sacrifice. I did it. And I loved doing it because I loved her and I knew it blessed her. I didn't do it begrudgingly. I didn't do it with an attitude, well, I guess I should do these things for my wife so that I can earn some brownie points later, right? I didn't do it in that way. No, I actually delighted in doing it. Because I loved her, and I wanted to please her. But now, fast forward to today, 25 plus years later, and oftentimes even just the little things that she asked me to do can seem like such a sacrifice. What, seriously, I just sat down, I'm watching TV, you want me to do what, right? And then I'll do it, fine, I'll do it. But if I'm being honest, I don't delight in it. Not the way I used to. And here's the thing. Do you think I'm doing a very good job of honoring my wife when I do things with that kind of attitude? And oftentimes that's the way we do things that God is asking us to do. Fine, God, I'll do it. Look at me. Look, I'm doing what you told me. I'm being obedient, right? I'm honoring you with my life. But are we delighting in the process? God wants us to delight in doing it. He doesn't want us to glorify Him with our lives because we have to, right? That's why He gave us free will. He gave us choice. He wants us to glorify Him with our lives because we actually want to. It's getting back to that first love that Revelation talks about with the church of Ephesus, where we love God so deeply that there isn't anything we wouldn't be willing to do for Him. where we glorify Him in all that we do, and we delight in doing it. This is the kind of worship that God desires from all of us. And it shouldn't just happen once a week. It shouldn't just happen on Sundays when we gather here at church or online. It should happen every day of our lives. And so I encourage you, please do try this at home, because it's God's will and His desire for all of our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the fact, Lord, that You created us to worship You. And it's not a one-sided thing, Lord. You want us to delight in it. As we worship You, as we love You, Lord, You love us back the same way. And so, Lord, my prayer this morning is that You would challenge each of us to be people that don't just go through the motions of trying to live our life for You, of honoring You with our lives, but Lord, that we would truly do it with a heart that wants to, a heart that wants to delight in what we're doing, Lord. That the sacrifices that we make, that it's not a burden, it's a joy, because we're glorifying You. We love You, Lord, and we want to grow in our love for You, that we can worship You in a way that we glorify You in all that we do, and that we delight in doing it. And so, Lord, we give You this word this morning. We just pray for each and every one of us, that where we're at right now, that You would just speak to us through this word. What is it that You want us to hear this morning? Each of us as individuals, what are You speaking to us right now? What are those things that You're challenging us, Lord? What are those things You're encouraging us in, Lord? We just are so thankful that You are a God that's personal, Lord. This message, though it spoke to many different people, you can take it and speak to us as individuals. And so, Lord, may You allow Your word to penetrate our hearts and to challenge us right where we're at, so that we can begin to live the lives that You are calling us to live, so that we can be different today than we were yesterday. And so we thank You for Your word. We give these things to You, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.